In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we continue with Psalms 117 or 118 in most Protestant Bibles, beginning with verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. In the book of Nehemiah, we read about how Ezra was celebrating a holy day with the people and was teaching them the scriptures, and he instructed the people thus: "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." It's just as important for us to enter into the joy of feast as it is for us to enter into the prayer and joyful mourning of the fast. And so when a feast comes along, we are to enjoy the good things of this earth, but also to make sure that those that are not as fortunate as us are able to do so as well. And we're commanded to not be sorry, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. St. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says that we are as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We're not just rejoicing some of the time, but we're to rejoice all the time. St. John Chrysostom says, "And let us therefore, when we suffer aught for Christ's sake, not merely bear it nobly, but also rejoice. If we fast, let us leap for joy, as if enjoying luxury. If we be insulted, let us dance as if praised. If we spend, let us feel as if gaining. If we bestow on the poor, let us count ourselves to receive, for he that gives not thus will not give readily. When then thou hast a mind to scatter abroad, look not at this only in almsgiving, but also in every kind of virtue. And compute not alone the severity of the toils, but also the sweetness of the prizes, and before all the subjects of this wrestling, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thou wilt readily enter upon the contest, and will live the whole time in pleasure, for nothing is wont so to cause pleasure as a good conscience." So we are to receive everything with joy and thanksgiving, even when we suffer. There's never a time when we should not have joy. We see this most clearly on Pascha, when there really is a palpable sense of joy in the Lord. But we should have that joy all the time, even when we are repenting of our sins. There's a time for sorrow, and we are to sorrow over our sins and to sorrow over the sufferings of others. But there's a joy when we repent, because we know that God is merciful. There's a joy because we know what awaits us. "The right hand of the Lord hath wrought strength. The right hand of the Lord hath exalted me. The right hand of the Lord hath wrought strength." This reminds us that it's not we who win the victory, but Christ. As it says in Psalm 113, verse 9, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth." We should always keep our focus on who is the author and finisher of our salvation, who bestows upon us all the blessings that we receive. "I shall not die, but live, and I shall tell of the works of the Lord." Now, who can say, "I shall not die"? He who cleaves to the living Lord can say that. There are two people in the history of Scripture that we read about that actually never tasted death, even for a moment, and that's the prophet Elijah and righteous Enoch. But also the martyrs who died for their faith appear to many after their deaths, and they continue to work miracles, and the various kinds of saints that we have do so as well. The resurrection of Christ is the foundation of our faith, and that resurrection is a reality for all those who die in the Lord. "Blessed is he who becomes worthy to live and declare the works of the Lord." Verse 18, "With chastisement hath the Lord chastened me, but he hath not given me over unto death." The fathers point out that the martyrs, when they suffered for Christ, didn't wish to give their persecutors any power or acknowledgement that they had any authority over them, and so the fact that they were suffering, they saw as the chastening hand of the Lord, and that they were suffering for their sins and for the sins of others. And they received it as being for their salvation. And by this faith, though they died, they were not given over to death. Open unto me the gates of righteousness. I will enter therein and give thanks unto the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter in thereat. I will give thanks unto thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The gate of righteousness and the gate of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he says in John chapter 10, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And a little bit later on, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to our salvation. Verse 22, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The prophet Isaiah prophesied very similarly to what we find in this psalm in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believes on him shall by no means be ashamed. We find this reference by St. Peter when he was responding to the Jews who were accusing him in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. He said, This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And again, St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, and he's talking about the Gentiles who've converted to the church, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together as for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What is a cornerstone? What does a cornerstone do? A cornerstone joins two walls together. And Christ joins the Old Testament and the New Testament, which are the chief works of the prophets and apostles, which St. Paul says is the foundation of the church. As St. Nikolai Vedomitovich wrote, The entire Old and New Testaments are united in him, finding meaning in him, revolve around him, are inspired by him, and upheld by him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what the Scriptures are all about, and apart from Christ, neither the Old nor the New Testament have any meaning whatsoever. And we are part of this building. As St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, To whom coming as unto a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. We hear it so often that maybe we get used to the idea of what Christ did for our salvation, but when you stand back, and particularly when you compare it with any other religion in the world, it's really truly an amazing thing that God would become a man and would not only become a man, but would take on the form of a servant, endure the shame of the cross and death for our sins, and then rise again on the third day for our salvation. That's truly an amazing thing, and it's unlike anything else that humankind had ever imagined. Verse 24, This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. This is the prokimenon of Pascha. And the day which the Lord hath made, that we should rejoice and be glad therein, is the day of the resurrection. It's a day of triumph. It's the eternal eighth day. And of course, we celebrate this on Pascha. We also celebrate this on every Sunday. But in one sense, every time we celebrate the liturgy, we participate in that eternal eighth day that we will share with Christ for all eternity. So let us rejoice and be glad therein. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen.